Let's pray. Father, thank you for this conference and this time we can spend together, and thank you for your message of grace that we've been privileged not only to hear, but to believe and to share with others. And we pray that you would give us the wisdom and the strength and the faith to do so in a way that honor and pleases you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have a confession to make. A couple confessions to make. Number one, I'm surprised that we're meeting in here. I thought they were going to put me in a little closet somewhere with about 10 people for this. That's one confession. And the other confession I have to make is I'm not going to teach you anything. This was a time when I was hoping we could come and more share than anything. And the reason I did that, which is my third confession, was that makes it easy on me. I don't have to really teach, or you. I want to be taught as much by you as I am teaching you. Basically, what I want to talk about is this. One of the closing verses of the New Testament here is Revelation 22:17, and you're familiar with this verse. It's, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Obviously, this reminds us of the woman at the well. For free grace people, very beloved passage of scripture. And the bottom line is, we have the truth. We have the message of grace. And we've been blessed with good teachers. And the majority of people in Christendom do not have this message, or they don't understand it. And that's been my experience. As some of y'all know, I was an Army chaplain, and my experience in the Army was that very few chaplains knew the message of grace. And one of the things we hear about at GES on a pretty recurring basis is, well, I live in an area where there's no free grace churches. And each of us are different. Each of us have different opportunities. We live in different places. And the question is, how do we get this message of grace out? It says here that we're telling people, as the bride, as the church, whoever's thirsty, we have this message of life. Well, how do we do it? Particularly if we're in an area where people are not interested. And again, we get comments like that. And in fact, it's come up in the conference. Well, I live in an area where there's no free grace churches. So what do I do? Or another, your situation may be you're in a church where you want to get this message out to more people. You go to a free grace church and you want to get this message out to more people. We had somebody talk earlier about the fact that in their church, and it's not a great big church, they've been gripped by the power of the message of grace. And I think the figure they gave was they raised $170,000 or something like that to get it out. And these are just average laymen, and that's what they want to do. And again, each of us come from a different background, so or we find ourselves in different situations. Let me tell you the situation I find myself in. I'm only using myself as an example. I've spent a lot of time, because the Army sent me, in seminaries. And what I found out pretty quickly is, if you want to go to a free grace seminary or free grace Bible college, there just ain't a whole lot of options. Now, you may or may not be aware of that. And that's just a fact. And so, you know, because I bring that up because a lot of times people will come to me, like, for example, someone wants to be a chaplain and they're free grace, and they go, well, where should I go to school? Where should I go to seminary? And they have to go to an accredited university. So that's it. Well, where is an accredited free grace seminary? There's very, very few options. And so in my particular circumstance, after I graduated, after retiring from the military, I wanted to teach. So where does a guy like me go to teach? I'm a free grace guy. I don't know anybody. There's very few options. We have this message of grace that we need to share. Where do I go? And I say that because in my background, like, for example, if you look at most of the teachers here at GES, I think we would say that most of them probably went to a seminary where they were exposed to free grace teaching, like through Zane Hodges or somebody like that. That certainly was my case. When I went to seminary, I never heard of free grace. Never heard. I would have been called, even though I didn't even know it, I would have been called a lordship reformed guy, a Calvinist. But as I was exposed to it, it gripped me, and it changed everything about everything that I would do in the future. That's why I'm here. And so here I am at my age and say, well, where do I go? And the bottom line for in my situation, there was no place for me to go. Zero. The Army had sent me to go get my PhD. I did that. I got my THM in order to go into the military as a chaplain. And there was nobody to teach, because I would go to places and you teach. And one of the reasons I couldn't teach there is because of my theology, because of my free grace theology. So what do I do? And so there was one professor that I had who said, if you want to teach, what you need to do is you need to go overseas. Plenty of opportunities to do it over there. And so that was new to me. And I'm only using myself as an example, because my guess is that probably everyone in here is asking the similar question, except you're in different circumstance. How can I share this message of grace with others? That's what I'm talking about. And again, I'm only using me as an example. Here's what the assumption that I'm making. We have this message of grace, and the assumption I'm making based upon Revelation 22:17 is this: God wants us to share this message. That's the assumption I'm making. And I think it's a pretty firm assumption that we can make. So if God wants me to share this message, but I find doors closed, I think that we can say that then God will provide other opportunities for us to do so. And as I'm talking here today, what I'm hoping is we can have some discussion about some of your experiences. I'm going to tell you some of my experiences and some of Catherine's experiences, just to simply say that God wants us to do it, and even though a door was closed, God opens doors in other places. Because what I found was that there are other opportunities for me to share the gospel of grace with college students, with pastors, just not where I thought, in the States. It's in other places, okay? So that's kind of like what I'm trying to show, and I'm interested in your input, because I get this question a lot. Your situation is different. You might say, well, I can't teach, I can't go overseas, but what I'm trying to say is God will open opportunities for all of us to share the message of grace. So I'm just going to give myself as an example here of what I'm talking about. Okay. One of the places I went was Nepal, and this is Catherine and I. There is a Bible Institute in Nepal, and I was through contacts, I was able to go there and teach, and been there three times, I think, to teach classes. And what I find there, and this is the other thing that I want to say is, let me just say it like this. In the States, my experience has been this, and I'm curious to know if it's your experience a lot of time. In the States, at least the circles that I travel in, people are closed to the message of grace. They will say, oh, you teach a crossless gospel, or you just teach people they can live however they want to live. And they're very close to it. And at first, I would try to argue with people. But I've gotten to the point now where I say, if you're close to it, I don't want to waste time with you. Maybe that's wrong, maybe that's right. But that's where I'm at. But what I find is the opportunities that the Lord opens, in my case for me, is that most of the people I talk to have never heard of this issue. And they're open to it. And they're open to discuss these things. And I certainly found that in Nepal. And it's a strange place that you wouldn't expect to find something like that, because Nepal was a very interesting country religiously for me. And I'll tell you what I mean. It's heavily impacted by Hinduism. Here's a lake that we went to, and you can see, I hope you can see it. There's a little island out there. And Nepal, there is, it's almost like when Paul went to Athens. There are idols everywhere. Everywhere. I was walking down the street one day, and after passing all these idols, and there was a man holding a cup underneath a cow, and I thought he was looking for milk, but the guy was telling me, no, he's collecting the urine to drink the cow's urine, because that cow is holy to him, you know. And so you're in this culture, and on this island, there's this holy temple. There's a bunch of temples, and they're covered with pigeon droppings, and off to the right, there's a crematory, how do you say that? Where they burn bodies. Crematorium. And they believe that the river is holy, and so the ashes of dead people are thrown in. It's a nasty place. It's a nasty place. And I'm giving these examples just to show you that in this place, though, there are pastors who are open to the message of grace. That's my point. A place that you wouldn't expect it. But it's there. Here is the money that people would give. It's a very poor country, but they would give money at the idols that they would do. And here's an example of one of the idols. You can see it. And again, these idols are just, this idol is on that particular island. And I forgot how many idols there were on that particular island. And I forgot the story of why this island was so particularly holy. But again, you go in there and there's pigeon droppings. And I remember, getting off the sidebar here, there was a monk there. And what I remember about him, he was a man that was only about maybe 2 feet tall. He had no legs, and he had... I don't even know how he had lungs or anything, but he was there, and as we were going out there, there was another man who didn't have a leg, and it was like gangrene was in it, and he was yelling, and my interpreter was telling me, he was yelling, if you give me money, you will be reincarnated as a in a better way, you know. So this is the kind of darkness that the people in, and to me, it's obviously it's depressing, but it's also exciting to go there and share the gospel of grace with people who can minister in that country in a way. And so I'm just saying that door, that kind of door was opened, even though doors here may be closed, at least in my particular circumstance. Here is, let me get back to it. This is an interesting thing. This is at another idol, and you can see holy cow, or I don't mean that like holy cow. I mean like like an idol. And I was asking the translator, well, what are they doing? Well, they're praying to this idol. The guy is making his requests known to his idol. And do you see how his right arm is on the other side from where he's talking? They do that so the prayers do not leak out of the other side. They're holding the prayers in. And again, you see these images everywhere. It's just all over the place. But you can see the kind of idol worship that's going on. These are some of the students. And again, this is the good part. These students they're open to free grace, and but the problem is they have no exposure to it. There's no free, like look at all these books back here that we have. They don't have any of that. And And so, again, in my particular circumstance, I just have to think that this is something that God would want someone to take them the message of grace. Most of these students would probably believe that you could lose your salvation is the probably the way they would think through it. But they're not really exposed to the issues. So that's in Nepal. Here's some more students. And if we have time, we got a little audio back there of these guys talking and what being exposed to free grace theology did for them. And if we have time, we'll play it. It's just about a minute and a half long. We'll see if we have time at the end. Here is the class in Nepal. So you get an idea of the number. Again, most of these students are pastors, but they've had no formal training. Here's the way I look at it. The way I look at it is the opportunity to teach free grace theology in the United States is pretty much closed, but the opportunity to teach free grace theology to pastors in other places is open. It's really, I'm a simple kind of guy, and that's the way I look at it. This is Zambia. Dewey and Catherine and I went. And that's me with a leopard. That was stupid, but you do get to see my UK hat. That's good, University of Kentucky hat. So that means nothing. But same situation in Zambia. There's a institution a Bible Institute, and I'll tell you something about Zambia. Now, this is my experience in Zambia. These guys, they would be considered more lordship. But they haven't been exposed to free grace theology either. But good night. If you want to go, if you want to get be tired, go teach these guys, because they ask questions the minute you walk in to the minute you leave. It's unbelievable. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or whatever it is. But you start teaching them free grace theology, they've never heard it before. It's boom, 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 boom. I mean, they just ask everything. What about James 2? What, you know, on and on and on. What about homosexuals will go to hell? You know, I mean, it never stops. And it's very, very exciting. And you can see on the other picture, they're very musical. They play music all the time with all their worship services and everything. And so we just included that. But Catherine and I are going back to Zambia here next month, you know, just to share the gospel of grace with them, with another class. And what's great about it is we get to take a lot of the GES literature, because they don't have any of it. And what's good about this place as well is they have a library. And oh, and by the way, both in Nepal and in Zambia, they all speak English. So you don't need a translator, at least the schools, at the schools they do. Here gives you an idea of the number of students in each class, roughly 25. And again, these guys, they're just amazing at the questions they ask all the time. And again, I'm not telling you this is what you need to do. I'm just telling you that God wants us to share, and if he wants us to share the message of grace, he's going to open opportunities, whatever circumstance you find yourself in. He wants us to share this message. That's my message. This is a church in Zambia. And I got to preach two services, and let me just tell you how exciting this is. I had to have a translator here, and a couple of you, I think I've told this story. In the two services, there were probably about 400 people total, and that's big for me. The church that I attend in South Carolina, on a good Sunday, we have 35, so this is big for me. And I preached on the woman at the well, and in both services, and I was so excited. This was the highlight of the trip for me, I think. Well, no, the students were, but this was second. I preached there on the woman at the well, and the translator was doing, and of course, with the woman at the well, I told them that if if we know who Jesus is, that he is the Christ who gives us eternal life, he gives us that gift and we can never thirst for it again. We can never lose eternal life. It is completely free. It is by God's grace. And this was a Baptist church outside. I think it was called Sunnyside Baptist Church, I think was the name of it. And after the service, there were a bunch of people up front and they were talking, but they were talking in their native language and I had no idea what they were saying. There was a large group of them and they were just, you know, just talking. And I was just sitting there, it didn't mean anything to me. I thought they were talking about the roast in the oven back home or whatever. I mean, they were going to go back home to eat. And the translator said to me, "Do you want to know what they're saying?" I said, "Sure." They said, "What they are all saying is," they were saying that they never heard before that Christ offered them eternal life. They thought it was for someone else. You know, it was just amazing. So, anyway, this is a another country. This is Ukraine. And I've only been there once. Ukraine is an interesting place because every one of those people in that picture are Baptist, but every one of them believe you can lose your salvation. And that was weird for me. This was a unique place for me. I taught the Gospel of John there, and the biggest struggle was eternal security. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't know how many here. They didn't speak English. I had to have a translator. But I gave them the gospel of grace, and they fought it. They had never heard of the gospel of grace, but they were exposed to it. Now, how they responded, I don't know. In Nepal and in Zambia, the response was very positive. But here, I'm not sure, because it was so ingrained, the idea that you could lose your salvation with them. But they got exposed to it, and they also got the gospel under siege in their own language. So here was a church that I preached at in Ukraine. Same thing. I just gave them the message of grace. There were probably about 200 people in this church. Had to have a translator there as well. So again, my point is that this opportunity to present grace, even though opportunities here in the States may be closed. Okay, now, enough about me and what I'm doing. Again, I'm just using this to be my circumstance. You might be sitting there and saying, "Well, I could never do that. I don't have a PhD, I don't have a THM," or you might say, "I'm a woman and I'm a mother, there's no way I can go to these places." The point of my presentation is this: God wants us to share the message of grace, and those opportunities are out there if we're asking the Lord to open these opportunities to us. And here's one that I have nothing to do with, and it's Catherine. And Catherine, when she, I don't want to steal your thunder because I'm going to let her talk. When she moved to South Carolina, same thing, no free grace churches, no opportunities. What she did was she just started with some youth. And I'm going to let her talk now. The green one.
Is it on?
Yeah.
It is on. Hi, guys. So, yeah, like my dad was just saying, when I finished up college, I moved to South Carolina where my husband was and we got married. And it's funny because I was just speaking to one of the gentlemen here about the fact that I was raised free grace. And so I kind of have the reverse testimony of a lot of people here, which is I didn't realize how the other half thought. What I mean by that is I didn't understand the lordship, Calvinist, Arminian, all of that. I mean, for me, that was such a foreign concept. And so my husband and I were searching for a church, and we found a Bible church, and we started attending. And at the time, they were doing a marriage series, and we were newlyweds. And so I was like, great. And so it was just kind of coasting for a while, if that makes sense. And then they finished the marriage series, and it kind of devolved into more other content. And I got a big slap of reality in the sense of what was being taught. in how the other half lives, if you will, because that was so strange to me. I grew up going to his church, and so I really was, my eyes were open to just how much the free grace message was needed out there. And it really, it shook me. It shook me in a way that I remember sitting in this, it makes me cry when I think about it. There was a pastor and he's sitting there and he's preaching to 150 people. And I was just sitting there just completely shocked by the message that he was giving as the gospel. Because it was just false. And I was just dumb enough to say I could do better than what he's saying. And I know that sounds really cocky in a way, but as young and as, you know, right out of college, I didn't know anything about ministry. I didn't know anything about, you know, what it meant to serve in that capacity. I knew that I could preach the gospel better than that pastor was doing. He was much smarter than I was, much older than I was, far more experienced, but I knew that I could teach it better than that. And I think that's true for most of us in this room. And so I started, oh, I'm losing my earring. The first thing I did is I got my husband's little sister. She was in middle school at the time, and I just asked her if she wanted to go to Starbucks with me. And she said, of course, she's a middle schooler, and I was cool, you know. She was dumb, but she thought I was cool. And so I was able to take her to Starbucks, and I just started teaching her. And I asked, you know, do you want to meet every week with me? And she was thrilled by the idea of being picked up from school and going to Starbucks with me every week. And it just, it evolved from there, you know, where she brought her friends. And then a youth ministry position came up where in a different church, and I took it, and I just ran with it. And, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But, you know, I think that one of the things that we just have so much blessings, so much content through GES and through great teachers, and for us to sit on it is just shameful. And for me, it was just, when I saw it, I said, I don't care. If somebody will sit still long enough, I'll talk to you about it. And yeah, it's just kind of ever since then, this is where we're going. And I said, one of the things that if you were here the first day, I gave a real brief testimony. We are in a desert in South Carolina. My dad has a church now because he wasn't living there at the time. But at the time, I had no one and nothing in terms of Free Grace as a community. And so I just started teaching kids. And if he hadn't have moved and started preaching at his church, that would be my Free Grace community, these kids that I've taught. And it's just incredible to see these young people have assurance and then tell other people about it. And so you don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to go to Zambia. You don't have to go anywhere other than maybe even your own family, like my sister-in-law, you know? So and that's basically it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And you see, you look at this situation here. Yes. Every one of those kids there, you know, they're basically high school students. Every one of those kids there know they have eternal life. And none of them, and I didn't do that. She did that. And I'm just using different examples here to show that God wants us to share this message in whatever circumstance we are. And if we ask the Lord, he's going to give us opportunities to do it because he wants this message to go out. This is just going back to me now, and I didn't want to do this, but this is in Wisconsin. An opportunity came to speak at an unaccredited Bible Institute. Again, the Gospel of John. Alonzo, here from Costa Rica. We've reached out, Bernie and Julie, and we're talking about doing some stuff there. You can see Alonzo's holding the Gospel under siege in Spanish to these guys. This is in Querétaro, Mexico. But I've talked enough about me. Now, I do want to talk about this just for a second. Because this might be something you might be interested in that you never thought of before. And I never thought of it before till I went to South Carolina. The guy next to me there, I'm the tall guy. The guy next to me is a volunteer. He's a Free Grace volunteer chaplain in the prisons in South Carolina. And I never really gone into this before, and I know that some of you may be doing this, and this is great. You have a captive audience there, no pun intended. But what I did through him is there's opportunities to preach in there, but also to go in for Bible studies. And what also, they'll let you bring in free grace literature. And the prisoners there, at least some of them, are very hungry for this. I'll give you just one story. There's a good friend of mine there who, when he was a young man, murdered two guys. And he's been in prison for a long time. But it's unbelievable what the Lord has done. He leads Bible studies in there now, and he's quite an impressive man. When he killed those two guys, he was high. He didn't know what he was doing, so he only got 25 years. But he didn't get life or anything like that. But I've also heard that there are ladies who go into the women prison and lead Bible studies there, and It's I'm just telling you, this is an option, and they are open to free grace theology as well. So that might be something that someone would be interested in doing. And then finally, your local church, VBS, leading a Bible study, leading a Sunday school. See, sometimes we think, oh, I got to do grand things. I got to do big things. Like Catherine would say, she started off just meeting with these kids at Starbucks. You might start off with a prison ministry Bible study, or you may start off, and this is an itty-bitty, this is my church in South Carolina, itty-bitty church out in the middle of nowhere. But those are there, and those opportunities are there. There's opportunities to teach free grace. Here's my conclusion. I'm interested to know what you all think. Let's share the message of grace that we've all believed. And I want to tie it into Ephesians chapter 2:10. Remember Ephesians chapter 2:10, it says that God has prepared works for us to walk in as the church. Certainly, part of that work is to share the message of grace. And we ought to be looking for opportunities to do it because they're out there. But sometimes we need to step outside the box. It may not be what we thought we were going to do, but we should pray to the Lord. Lord, give me the opportunity to share with others the message that I have been so privileged and fortunate to be given to others. Let me share it with them, because there's a lot of people who are out there who are open to it. And that's what I just wanted to say. Okay. Suggestions or comments or questions or your experiences. What do you think? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Okay. Come on up. Or, yeah, give it. Yeah, there you go.
We have a rather unique ministry. My history here with GES goes back to 2002, when Pastor Dan Hauge brought me here and introduced me to Zane Hodges. And so I had an ongoing friendship and relationship with Zane Hodges. So I learned from one of the best. But my friend Jason came with me in 2006. And we sat and heard Zane's message when he gave it about sin not being the issue any longer to send people to hell. And it transformed our lives. It was a watershed moment that changed everything. And what we developed was we lived in Northwest Iowa, where the Bible Belt is. And it is on almost every corner, there's a Reformed church. And so what we were excited about the rewards concept, and so we started teaching the prophecy aspect of the timeline. And so what we developed a free grace ministry through the prophecy issues that people were interested in. They want to know what's going to happen. So we did the timeline with the movement from humankind to Israel to the church age and then on into the millennium. Well, then we opened the back door with the grace message in between there. And what we meet in farmers' machine sheds, where farmers feel very welcome. We got manure spreaders, we got tractors, we got silage wagons sitting in there, and the aroma of that, all that stuff. But that's right to home to them. And so they aren't intimidated by a church walls, but they come to hear it. And we'll average a lot of times 20 to 30 farmers that are strictly Reformed. And I just wanted to say that to encourage you that wherever you're at, you can do what Ken was talking about. And that's our ministry, and it has been highly effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
All right, I'll be pretty brief, but most of you guys know J.B. Bond, and I work with him up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is where Oklahoma State University is located. Go Pokes. And what's really remarkable about that is that being in a college town means that we have an outsized influence for the size of our church. So our church has about 400 people, which is a good-sized church, but we impact more people than the average church of that size because people come in, we share the grace message with them, and then they go back out. And it's been remarkable to see across the state of Oklahoma, you could go to pretty much any town in Oklahoma and someone knows JB. And it's a beautiful thing because that means that they have heard the grace message. And so I haven't been doing it very long. I'm pretty young. But in my experience, one of the things that really stuck out to me about what Catherine was saying and some of what Kim was saying is just that, you know, the Great Commission is, as you are going, make disciples. And Acts 1:8 is before they go to Judea and Samaria and to the most part of the earth, they start in Jerusalem, right? And I think sometimes we get so caught up with going somewhere else when there's a dearth of the message where we are. And so I'm encouraged just to hear us talking about that we can be sharing the grace message where we are. And that's been a real theme that's been emphasized this year at this conference, which is if you're upset that there's not grace in your community, why isn't there? That starts with you. And so I've just been really encouraged to see even just the movement of discipleship as I meet with people, they meet with people, and then they meet with people. And so people's lives are changed through the grace message. And so it just starts with you meeting with somebody one-on-one, and you can really change a community that way. So anyway, thanks.
Yeah. I would also add that there's people you can reach that I can't. You know, I give Catherine's that example there. I never would have reached her sister-in-law. You know, I mean, well, the Lord could have done it. But so, yeah, we can reach them where we're at.
Well, this makes me think that there's small ways, not just great ways, for us to share. And one of the opportunities that came into my realm of life was through scrapbooking. I love to scrapbook. I love to make cards. And a group meets at the Heritage Senior Center there in Irving. And they cut us back to only like 4 times a year of meeting there. And so several of the ladies looked at me because they know my husband's a pastor. We have a building. And they said, is it possible for us to come to your church and do scrapbooking? So I approached Leon, and he talked to the church council. So we've opened up our library to the times we're not at the Heritage Center. We're at Berean. And, you know, I don't push anything. I have materials there they can pick up on Free Grace. The living waters are there. But it's amazing the questions the ladies start asking me. Some of them don't even go to church anywhere. That's the only time they're in a church is when they come to scrapbook. And the questions that are asked, and then some will say, oh, is your husband here? I have a question to ask. Can I go talk to him? And Leon has been able to pray with some of the ladies, and they'll bring prayer requests to me. And it's just been a great opportunity, something that I never thought would turn into anything like this. And there's no coincidences. The biggest one we just met a week ago. No, it was just this past Saturday. And I was sharing some of the products that I had bought with another lady. I don't know her spiritual status at all. Her husband recently passed away. I have prayed with her. She has asked for prayer, but I don't know where she is. She doesn't go to church anywhere. I know that. And on one of the sets I had, there was an anchor with some Bible verses. And she said, why is this anchor here? You know, why did they put an anchor with these scriptures? Leon just happened to be standing behind me. And I said, Leon, what's that verse where it talks about the anchor? So he goes into sermon mode. He's a pastor. And the whole room got quiet. All these ladies are focused and listening to Leon. And several of them shared, wow, that was very interesting. I really learned something. But it's just been a blessing to me to be able to do that. And that this kind of confirms that it's just those small things, something as simple as gathering women together, fellowshipping through scrapbooking, that it can go beyond that. And I'm thankful for all the information I've gathered here to take back.
Anybody else? I think we got a minute left.
Can I add maybe one more thing? Can I add one more
sure.
thing maybe? Talking about just the women in the room, there was a pastor that I knew a long time ago, and he was giving his testimony, and his testimony included a very interesting thing. He said that he was 10, and he was asking his mom some questions about salvation and whatnot, and his mom decided to call the pastor and take him to the pastor's home to give him the gospel. And it's always struck me as kind of odd. Like, you know, just as women, we have such a great opportunity and a captive audience with children that a lot of the time the men in this room or the pastors in this conference don't have. Don't squander that, because they're the best people to evangelize to, because they'll believe it. They will. Don't, you know, you have the authority to tell your kid the gospel. You don't need a pastor to do that for you. And so I just wanted to just kind of encourage you, if you're just a mom, you have a great ministry, and just raising your kids is free grace. And don't belittle that. So I just wanted to add that. Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for your attention.